Hello, and welcome back to the Two Scars Gaming Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about team-oriented games, stuff like team-oriented shooters, team-oriented MOBAs, battle arenas, all that sort of great stuff. But first, we're going to have a word from our wonderful sponsor, Anchor. Hello, my name is Eric.
My name's Jeremy.
My name is Evan.
And welcome back to another episode of Two Scars Gaming. Today on episode 3, we will be covering the team-based game, whether that be a multiplayer online battle arena, a first-person shooter title, or some other machination unknown to you guys and us, maybe. Yes. So I know that one of our hosts here has a lot of experience with team-based games. So Jeremy, what can you tell us about the team-based game?
A team-based game will either be the greatest time of your life where you have the greatest cooperation with like a set of like teammates within your team, or literally everyone's doing their own thing and you have no idea why you're there in the first place and why you're there.
CSGO silver matchmaking.
Casual gaming. I personally specialize in playing Team Fortress 2 a lot. CSGO is like a secondary team-based game that I play, but I mainly prefer chaotic.
Right, I see. Play. So, have you played any team-based games, Evan?
Okay, so I'm not entirely sure what qualifies as a team-based game exactly, because I know I've played some games in the past where it's usually you have to work with a group of people, and if you're not working with a group of people, it's a much harder challenge, but I'm not sure how to differentiate between those, whether or not to differentiate them as team-based games or cooperative games.
Okay, yeah, okay, so this is a great, you know, segue into what is a team-based game as opposed to, like, a cooperative game. So I think that there are two things that we need to clarify first, right? Player versus player and player versus everyone. PvP and PvE for short, right? Okay, so PvP, it's player versus player.
Yeah,
like real people versus real people.
This makes sense.
This does in fact make sense. So examples of PvP would be
let's say you have two people rock paper scissors in real life. That's a player versus a
PvP
player.
Yes, yeah, player versus player, rock paper scissors. Any other examples of PvP?
Minecraft could be a really good example too, because they have like a lot of PvP mechanics.
Oh yeah, TF2 is PvP.
It's more like team versus team, but like individually PvP.
Individually PvP.
I don't know, Street Fighter. That's completely PvP.
Street Fighter is.
PvE is more like it's like think of it as like one player versus a bunch of AI. Kind of like, would you rather fight a one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? You're basically fighting against like a bunch of enemies.
Good real life examples of PvE would be you versus the world. If rock paper scissors is the PvP of real life, what is the PvE of real life?
Pissing off like 100 angry geese at like a pond and you're running for your life.
I think that's, I know.
No, yeah.
Canadian man.
I am Canadian man.
This is like the equivalent of challenging the endgame boss when you're like level 3. Just don't do it.
Aren't there speedruns that like Breath of the Wild speedruns? It's literally going to challenge Ganon at level 1.
Breaking physics.
Breaking what? How is that PvE?
No. Like, I was referencing.
Oh, Breath of the Wild speedruns. Yeah, those are really hilarious to watch if you haven't
breaking
watched.
Breaking physics.
Yeah, breaking literally. Physics.
Who needs physics anyways?
Okay, so no real life examples of PvE.
Good examples of PvE would be like horde based games, like let's say World War Z, because like that's literally World War Z is literally a zombie based shooter with four players against like a horde of AI controlled enemies.
I see. And
I'm not sure how to... Wait, what are we saying?
PvE. I know that you have a lot of experience with Warframe, and that's a predominantly PvE game.
Oh, wow, Warframe. Yeah, I had a lot of experience with Warframe.
Had.
And then I kind of sort of slowly got away from that once I realized that I am dedicating way too much into Warframe.
Until I dragged him back into it for like a good few months.
Yeah, a couple of months, and then I gave up again because I realized why I quit in the first place.
Yep, you and I both. So, you know... What defines Warframe as a PvE type of game?
So with Warframe, I think it's less like... Because with PvE, sometimes it's you against equally strength enemies, but it's AI, so they're easier for you to beat. But with Warframe, it's more like one, you as a very strong player character are just committing genocide. And the end goal is just figuring out how much genocide you can commit.
Now that's what I call a massive war crime.
Now that's what I call demonetization. Oh, we'll be lucky if we didn't get demonetized just now.
Oh, God.
But, you know, it's okay. But, yeah, definitely some PvE games are more focused, or actually almost all PvE games are focused on you, a godlike player character, mowing down hordes of weaker AI enemies.
Right? Or, like, a group of people.
Or a group of people mowing down, you know.
Yeah.
I think...
PvE kind of, like, really fits, like, the more cooperative game spectrum. Because in the end, you're just a bunch of people fighting off a bunch of AI. PvP kind of fits more, like, team-based games. Because you have to fight other players in order to win.
Well, I mean, are boss raids PvE? Where it's you and a group of players against one boss? Like, one ridiculously strong boss?
Yes.
There are some games that kind of... Do you remember Evolve, where, like, a player can be, like a monster and then, like, a bunch of other...
Spore?
No, yeah. Oh. I guess that was it Evolve.
Called? Evolve? I've never played that
game. It failed.
Have you?
It might be in my library, but I think I took one look at it.
You have, like, 800 games in your library.
Shh, those bundles. I just... But yeah, it might be in my library, but I think I took one look at it and it just sort of
basically Evolve's a team-based game. It didn't really hit off so well, but the main premise was that you have a team of players versus a team of super monsters. The team of monsters is smaller than like the enemy team, but you have the monster team has like a lot of one-shot capabilities, and they basically need to pick off every single team member of the opposite team.
I think I've heard of that. Wait, is it a first-person shooter?
Yeah.
I've definitely heard of it. Okay, so...
It's, like, ambiguous, because, like, it kind of hit the fan.
Yeah, but I think I know exactly what you're talking about. So, the premise of the game, it started off really well. It was a team of a squad of four players, right? You have your typical, like, RPG roles. You have your tank, your damage dealer, your utility, and your healer, right? But they were characterized as, like, FPS roles. So your damage dealer would be like an assault class, your tank would be like a heavy weapons class, your utility class would be
support.
Well, like, you know, he would use sniper rifles and stuff, and your support class would be like a medic, you know, a combat medic.
Yeah.
And basically, it was really good when it first came out. It was critically acclaimed, but then the developers released a DLC monster, okay? And in Evolve, players play as the squad, and another group of players plays as the monsters, right? And so they released the DLC monster. Now this monster could turn invisible, draw aggro to one player on the opposing squad by like summoning monsters, and then it draws aggro to one singular player. And while it was invisible, it was also invincible, and it could still attack. And this was DLC.
So, yeah, and that's when it started, like, going downhill, because you start introducing pay-to-win mechanics that you don't want in a game.
Yeah. So...
This is so sad.
This is so sad. But what I was thinking was more Destiny, right? Or have you played Destiny 2?
I played it for a little while.
There's both.
PvP. Yeah, there are PvP modes, but the story, I think, and the open world, it's predominantly PvE.
Yeah, what I was thinking was the... I don't know if it was Destiny 1 or Destiny 2.
But they had multiplayer. Well, I saw some videos.
Because I remember this game mode where you and a whole bunch of other players target this one like boss monster with tons of health.
I think those are raids.
Yeah, right? That's what I was talking about more. Those are considered PvE?
I mean, it's you versus an enemy. I'm not sure how else to classify it.
I mean, let's talk about the PvP aspects of Destiny.
Well, Nero, because...
Because, like, well, they do have...
We can focus on that later, but I think that... Because we're trying to characterize, like, what a teamwork-based game is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we need to focus on, you know, both sides. And considering we're already on PvE, I thought I just might address, like, the Destiny issue. And, you know, just in general, are boss raids PvE, PvP, and can they be classified as teamwork, or are they more cooperative than anything?
Because, like, team-based games have, like, a weird, like, borderline for, like, co-op games.
That's yeah.
That's weird. Funky.
I don't know. You've played more Destiny than both of us, considering I have 0 hours on Destiny.
I have also 0 hours. I am poor.
And I don't think I'm qualified to talk about this.
Okay, then. Never mind.
Okay, but, let's ignore Destiny.
Well, I've played Diablo before. And Diablo actually recently has introduced, like, multiplayer boss raids. And I feel like it's... I feel like it can be classified as a team-based game. Much like how... I don't know if any of you guys have played Final Fantasy 16, the new multiplayer RPG. Very into Final Fantasy. Okay, well, it basically takes Final Fantasy and then it turns it into an online RPG, and it's so cool. And I would classify that game as teamwork because every one person has, like, specific roles that they need to use in order to further, like, an independent goal that's not defined linearly, so that's, like, not part of story or anything, or it's more so just, like, for, like, the grind or just for monster hunting or stuff like that. I don't know.
Okay, so what I'm hearing so far is that team-based games, usually, they have roles for players to fall into.
I think.
And they have some sort of objective. I mean, yeah, it's a game, it has some sort of objective. But what differentiates it from cooperative games is that... I forgot what I was going to say. Give me a second, actually.
I don't know. You know what? Let's play a game. We're going to go around in a circle, and each of us is going to name one game for the category that I'm going to give you guys, okay?
Right.
There are two categories. There is, actually, no, I'm not even going to give you a category. You're going to name a multiplayer game that you think fits into either the cooperative or teamwork genre of game, and then you're going to tell me what you think it is. And we're going to go around in a circle, and then we're just going to list them, okay?
All right.
I'll go first. League of Legends, teamwork.
CSGO, teamwork.
TF2, teamwork.
Left 4 Dead, cooperative.
Portal 2, multiplayer, cooperative.
Payday 2, I would say... Oh, God, now there's a borderline to have to decide.
Just pick one, quick.
Team.
Teamwork? Rainbow Six Siege, teamwork.
I think I've run out of games to say.
God damn it, Evan.
I'll go then. Overwatch, teamwork, obviously.
Overwatch, Portal 1, cooperative.
There's no multiplayer for Portal 1, though.
Oh.
It's single player.
Portal 1, single player. I've failed. Yeah, we've run out of games.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let's list them, right? So on the teamwork side, we had League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Rainbow Six Siege, TF2, and maybe Payday 2. Well, Payday 2 is sort of in the middle, right?
Yeah.
So we're just going to leave it out of both lists. So, League of Legends, CSGO, Overwatch, what was the other one? Rainbow Six.
Yes.
That's it, right?
Oh, no, yeah. Wait.
Let's talk about those games, because we know for a fact they're team-based.
I feel like you said Rainbow Six twice.
I said Rainbow...
Wait, really?
Rainbow, you know what? There are four games. Overwatch, CSGO, Team Fortress 2, and Rainbow Six in teamwork. And in the cooperative category...
League of Legends.
Oh, and five games?
I don't know. It would have been nice to have, like, a piece of paper to write down or something.
You know what? It's okay. It's too late. Cooperative games. Portal 2, Left 4 Dead 2. Is that it? Is that really it? Okay.
I felt like there were more.
Okay.
We should have written down. We are bad at this.
Well, okay. So what are the similarities between Portal 2 and Left 4 Dead 2?
They're really different.
Well, what are some similarities?
You have multiplayer, obviously. You also have, like, coordination between, like, players. But the difference is, It's like the gameplay, obviously, and how
we're not trying to differentiate between cooperative games. We're just trying to find similarities between cooperative games. And then we're going to compare those to teamwork games. And then we're going to try to find the principles that define a co-op game and a teamwork game and what separates them.
So Portal 2 and Left 4 Dead 2, they both are similar where they really need teamwork for things to work properly. But at the same time, Left 4 Dead doesn't really need that teamwork. If you have a full team of professionals that know what they're doing and can handle everything by themselves.
Right, okay.
But there's mainly a teamwork aspect because you all need to get to the end too.
Right, but we threw those into the co-op department immediately, right?
Yeah.
We think those are co-op games. And then we said immediately, CSGO, Overwatch, Rainbow Six, League, all of that stuff is teamwork. One thing I can name that all those things have in common is the PvP aspect, right? Anything else that they have in common?
I don't think PvE, they both share PvE,
I'm talking about just similarities in teamwork.
They both have similar teamwork aspects, but teamwork games take teamwork up to a point where you have to deal with random people. And you have sometimes deal with random people and coordinate something together to execute and work together as you go. You have to plan everything and then go for it.
Right. What do you think?
It feels like for the teamwork-based games, a lot of them are characterized by, cooperation between lots of people, but also competition between two groups. So Rainbow Six, it's you versus,
attackers versus defenders.
Yes. For CSGO, it's counter-terrorists versus terrorists. Because for co-op games like Portal 2, there's not really a conflict. You're just supposed to be working together to an end goal. But for teamwork, it feels like there's more competition between actual people.
Right, I definitely agree. What do you think?
I really agree with that.
Okay, so now that we've, determined what makes a teamwork game a teamwork game and what makes a co-op game a co-op game, we can now start, talking about teamwork games and co-op games.
And it took us a long time to get here.
It did take us a long time to get here. But you know what? Let's just start off with, your favorite teamwork-based
Team
games.
Team Fortress 2, Everything is Dying.
Great. I guess.
And by Everything is Dying, I mean, enemy players, not the actual game. Don't worry about the... Don't worry, player fans of Team Fortress 2.
Okay, well, TF2 is a team-based shooter, right?
Yep.
So I want to talk about that, the team-based shooter game, right? So do you play a lot of those, Evan?
No, not really.
Can we count Warframe? Because technically that is, because you have guns in Warframe.
I think Warframe, with the standards that we just set, I think Warframe is more of a cooperative game.
Yeah, it feels more cooperative.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just boot that out. Fortress 2.
Well, Team Fortress 2 and the teamwork-based shooter, the team-based shooter, right?
Yes.
So Team Fortress 2, yeah, go ahead.
All right, you have two teams, red team and blue team. Blue without the E.
Yes.
Basically, your team has to complete an objective before the other team does, or sometimes, in Rainbow Six Siege, either attack or defend.
Right, yeah.
TF2 is different from, other, team-based shooters, where instead of, being, favoring the more chaotic gameplay of running and gunning and defending with massive artillery, then super Call of Duty tactical pew 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 scope gun thing.
I wouldn't call Call of Duty tactical by any means.
okay, Call of Duty is definitely not tactical because you have explosives.
I mean, if we're trying to talk about tactical team-based shooters, do you guys know about Arma?
Oh, Arma. Vaguely. Isn't it just a giant? Every time I see Arma, it's more of a joke, though, because...
Arma and other games... Well, I play a lot of Insurgency, not so much Arma, so I guess we'll talk about Insurgency instead. I've been playing a lot of Insurgency recently, and that's a team-based milsim, which is a military simulation. I obviously have no qualifications to talk about the philosophical implications of actual military and, what they do and how they serve, but with my experience playing milsims, if you do not coordinate, you get shot down immediately. If you're going to run out in the open across a bridge, you're going to get shot. If, you know, you're in one place for too long, you're going to get shot. You have to coordinate with your team to launch a organized, planned assault on, you know, a control point or on a group of enemies or on a cache or on a weapons cache, you know? And you have to, like, coordination is paramount, right? Mm-hmm. And I see that in a lot of other team-based shooters. Like, even in, like,
Team Fortress 2, yeah, that thing's true, right? Yeah. TF2, competitive TF2 has 66 system where you have, where you need to, like, coordinate, do the same thing as what you said for insurgency. You have to plan, and then you have to execute.
Right.
And then you have to use communication to, like, make sure you, like, successfully push.
Right.
And, like, achieve objectives. It still has that chaotic aspect, you know, like what you said before, if you don't coordinate, you're going to easily die by standing still, walking a straight line.
Yeah.
Yeah, and being just by yourself. 66, but, like, Team Fortress 2 66 is different, where, like, solo play is, like, also forgiving and unforgiving at the same time, because you need to move by yourself. Like, say, for example, like, you need two scouts to, like, move up to an objective, make sure they, like, as, like, a diversion to, like, take out the enemy medic, and then you can just push in easily.
Right, I see. So there's a lot of strategy involved.
Meanwhile, like, the enemy team has to do the same thing.
Right.
So then it's just, like...
Team-based shooters at all, Evan?
Not really. I think really the only thing is, I mean, you introduced me to CSGO a little while back,
mm-hmm.
and that was when I reaffirmed that I am not good at this.
I mean, you got a lot of good kills during, like, that one play session.
I mean, I think you're very good fundamentally at the team-based shooter, but I don't know, what gets to you? Is it the nerves? Is it the pressure? I don't know.
I think, honestly, I'm okay with aiming, like, moving a mouse, that's easy, except for, you know, spray, but that's another thing entirely.
Yeah.
But, you know, moving a mouse, that's all well and good. The issue is I have a bit of trouble communicating with my team, and I think that's what really gets me.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
So, you know, team-based shooters, at least, fast-paced ones, slow-paced ones, I think those are the fast-paced ones and slow-paced ones. You know, no matter what kind of team-based shooter you're playing, communication is really important.
Communication always is key.
Okay, but team-based shooters aren't the only type of team-based games, you know? Do you have any experience with any other types of team-based games that you think would qualify?
I played some TF2 several years ago.
Well, that's another, you know, team-based shooter, you know?
Honestly, I'm...
We already talked about it, though.
Yeah, but those two are basically the only qualifications I have for this.
Let me ask you something.
Right.
Have you played RoboCraft?
RoboCraft?
It's a team-based shooter where you have to build a mech or car.
Well, that's team-based weapons. Shooter again, you know?
Yeah.
Team-based shooters aren't the only kind of team-based games out there.
And also, I've absolutely never heard of RoboCraft.
Oof.
How about...
I don't play anymore, though.
Do you guys play any MOBAs? Like,
what's
Smite?
A MOBA?
Okay, so a MOBA is a multiplayer online battle arena. It's normally... I'm just going to use League of Legends as an example. League of Legends is, you know, a gaming and cultural phenomenon, blah, blah, blah. It's really important. In essence, it's a team-based multiplayer online battle arena where two teams of five are pitted against each other in order to destroy the opposing team's objective, right? So you guys don't really have any experience with MOBAs?
No.
No. Never. MOBAs never really stick to me.
Yeah, I've really been sort of actively avoiding them, to be honest.
I prefer more chaos than clicking.
Than clicking?
A lot.
Have you just been avoiding multiplayer games in general, Evan?
Multiplayer games in general, no comment, but MOBAs definitely, because I've not really... seen anything in them that appeals to me, honestly. So that's just about it. As for multiplayer, not actively, I'm just bad at them.
Okay, well, so I don't play a lot of League, but I did play a lot of a mobile MOBA called Vainglory.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
You've heard of that?
It's kind
of
like...
I think I've heard of you talking about it before.
I've seen it before. It's kind of like League of Legends.
Okay.
It has the same formula.
The differences are, it's like, yeah, exactly. It has the same formula. But in Vainglory, originally, it was a 3v3 format, actually. And it was a single lane instead of three lanes, and a single jungle instead of two jungles. And the biggest thing about a team-based MOBA is knowing how to handle yourself in terms of like rotations, which are, do you know what rotations are, Jeremy?
No.
Do you know what rotations are?
I would be lying if I said yes.
I am illiterate in the art of rotation, teach me.
Okay, so rotations are pretty important. In any team-based game, I'm gonna try to draw a graphic without using paper. I'm gonna use your imagination, okay? So, imagine you are playing on a three-lane map, okay? Your objective is on the left side and the enemy objective is on the right side, okay? One path goes right through the middle, okay? One path arcs around the top and one path arcs around the bottom. In between each of those paths is a jungle area, which connects those paths to other paths. So the top lane is connected to the middle lane through the top jungle, and the middle lane is connected to the bottom lane through the bottom jungle. Okay?
Wait, is it like three vertical straight lines or?
Well, one arcs over the top, one arcs over the under the bottom, and one is straight in the middle.
My brain hurt, bro.
Well, anyways, so now say we have five players, okay? We're going to assign roles to these five players. We're going to assign one person to the top lane, we're going to assign one person to the middle lane, and we're going to assign one person to the bottom lane. Now, then we're going to assign one person to keep both jungles safe and one person to support the people in the lanes, okay? Now you're wondering, why do we need someone to watch the jungles? We need someone to watch the jungles because of rotations. Let's say that your player in middle lane has suddenly been attacked by not only the guy in middle lane, but also by the enemy jungler and the enemy support. It's a 1v3 and it's not looking good for your mid laner, right? Now, this is small brain strategy because I don't play too many MOBAs anymore. But let's say our player from bottom lane makes a rotation up to mid lane, right? Our jungler makes a rotation down to bottom lane, and our captain makes a rotation to mid lane as well.
Oh, so now, you're like moving roles around, right?
Exactly. Now, the reason why we do this is because we're fighting the enemy mid laner, support, and jungler, right? The jungler, when guarding the jungles, his primary goal is to, well, A, guard the jungles, and B, get lots of money in order to spend money on, you know, various items and stuff, okay? And the support role is meant to, you know, help and heal the our damage dealers. And our damage dealers are just pure damage dealers. And so with this rotation, our bottom lane rotates to mid lane. So now we have two damage dealers in mid lane. And then our jungler rotates to bottom lane to, you know, just cover bottom lane in case anyone is there. And then our support also goes mid lane. So now on the enemy side, we have Cash Cow, which is the jungler. We have our damage dealer and we have our support. But on our side, we have two damage dealers and a support. And so we engage in combat, you know, we win. And it's all because of a successful rotation. Rotations are basically, in essence, like you said, switching roles around in order to accommodate for a certain scenario, okay? In MOBAs, this is really important. In MOBAs, the idea of a rotation, the idea of giving your players certain roles, but also allowing them to play a different role if need be, is sort of what defines the teamwork aspect of a MOBA, like Vainglory or League of Legends. And yes, it's very exciting, and you guys should definitely try. You know, you two and our listeners.
I feel like if I play, my finger is going to die.
I think your brain would die earlier. I'm going to be honest. It's a lot of thinking.
I think I already burned out my brain.
That sounds like a lot of strategy, and that sounds like a good way to fall back into the Warframe routine.
I'm a shoot first, think later guy, okay. There's a reason why I charge into a enemy team with me and by myself, because I do have a chance to actually win the fight in Team Fortress 2.
Right, I see. Okay, so, you know, teamwork games. Yes.
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 Maybe.
Maybe. Considering we've sort of run out of content for teamwork and team-based games, let's just jump straight to how would you recommend people get into the scene?
If you want something mild, okay, so if you're a strategic person that like lurks well with people, try like tactical team-based games first, like CS:GO and Rainbow Six, because if you prefer strategy over brute force, then those games are good for you, because they require good tactics.
Yeah.
If you just want to destroy everything you see with a bunch of people in order to like achieve something, because I'm that kind of person, go for Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, and if you're into strategic thinking, you know, MOBA is the right way to go. Yes. TF2 is free. CS:GO is free. League of Legends is free. Vainglory is free. Rainbow Six Siege is not free.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes it goes free on weekends. You know, you just got to keep an eye out on Steam for that. So yeah, if you definitely want to get into team-based games, pick those games up first.
Do know for CS:GO, you might have to waste like $60 if you don't want to end up in a game with a cheater. Because
Not 60, 15.
15? Yeah. But like, there's like been a rise of cheaters in CS:GO lately because of the free-to-play update.
Oh yeah, it's okay though. You know, if your trust factor is high, you won't be matched with cheaters. But yeah. We've run out of ideas for team-based games, so you know how we were talking about cooperative games earlier?
Let's jump over to that.
Yeah. Segway. Okay.
We are bad at this.
Yes. Okay, so for cooperative games, Evan, I know that you play, well, a lot, some, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you play a lot?
I play games that might be cooperative, but I usually don't end up making them cooperative because I don't have anyone to play it with.
This is so sad. Can we get an F to pay respects?
I know I play a lot of cooperative games, mainly Payday 2 and Left 4 Dead 2. They are very chaotic.
Right. Very nice.
Also, like games like hack and slashers are also going to be like multiplayer hack and slashes, yeah.
Yeah, cooperative. Sounds about right.
Yeah. I mainly focus on, like, cooperative shooters, because they're a lot more fun.
You're just an FPS type of guy?
Yeah, I prefer, like, fighting hordes of enemies.
I'm going to take a gamble here and say that your favorite genre of video game is first-person shooter. Am I correct?
I'm pure chaos.
Am I correct?
Yes.
That was a gamble well made.
I am gunman.
Okay, well, what I wanted to focus on was you. When I remember that there was a period of time where you played a lot of Human Fall Flat.
Oh yeah, yes. That's definitely cooperative.
Okay, so I have never actually played Human Fall Flat, and you have limited experience with it, I'm assuming.
I have seen gameplay of it, yeah.
But you've actually played it, so you want to explain to us and the audience?
Okay, so Human Fall Flat, it's extremely doable, a single player, but you can also do it cooperative. You can, I think, enter servers. The only time that I've ever done that, it was super laggy, and I never did it again. But Human Fall Flat, you can also do local multiplayer, which is what I did. And it's very much a puzzle game. And it has physics and controls that can somewhat be infuriating at times, because you basically have two sticks for hands, and your only controls are raising them up and grabbing stuff.
That sounds terrible. Well, I mean, I haven't been given the context of the puzzles yet, so.
So with the puzzles, you can either solve them the normal way, or you can solve them by just going on top of the map and walking all the way to the exit. But let's just let's not focus
I'll
on that for now.
Break the game 101.
Yeah, but a lot of it is really just how the game gives you a lot of stuff to play with. Essentially, like, they give you catapults, and you're essentially either supposed to launch yourself over the walls or you're supposed to climb in a window. So it's very much, I guess, physics-based.
Right, I see. Mm. You want to give us an example of one of the puzzles?
Okay. So this one is, it's not really a puzzle. It's just very difficult to do for me. So you have a stick, and you have a gap. And what you're supposed to do is, with these controls, you're supposed to use the stick, and you're supposed to jump over the gap while having the stick below you.
And then, like, use it like a hook or
something?
Yeah, as
a, I don't know what the word is, a pole?
Pole vault?
Yeah, you can. You have to pole vault over to the other side.
What?
Or we can either do that or just bend iron
You
bars
have
and walk
sticks
out.
And grabs for hands? You have sticks and grabs as your only controls?
Yeah. Basically, you grab stuff and you climb stuff, and that's what you do in Human Fall Flat. And you fall flat many, many times.
And you have to pole vault?
You can either pole vault or you can just go the other option and just bend the metal bars open. But I didn't know that was a thing the first time around.
Wait, so is pole vaulting, like, not the ideal, like, method?
I wouldn't say the controls are terrible in a way that a game tries to be good but is actually bad. But I would say the controls are not very, how do I say it?
Functional.
They're functional. They're just not very sharp or responsive as I would like it to be.
Right. Oof. But this is the Dark Souls of puzzle games.
Dark Souls of puzzle games.
This is...
Let's see. My experience of cooperative games. Payday 2 and Left 4 Dead 2 involves me playing with random people, trying to kill as many enemies as possible.
Yes.
And Payday 2 has a more like tactical, can have a tactical side to it as well by playing stealthily, where you can't take out too many enemies, or else like all the enemies will come to kill you, and yes. You want to sneak around so you don't get caught. Yes. And that's like a fun part of cooperative, because now you have, imagine four people, go to the game, if one of you mess up, you all mess up. Everything goes down because someone accidentally stepped over a laser detector. Uh-oh.
And you all die.
It's like, or somehow escape with like only one bag of loot.
Like no pressure, but it is a lot of pressure.
Left 4 Dead 2. You're just robbing a bank, you know?
Yeah, no, that's something, that's fine.
Oh,
that's
don't
fine.
Worry, you're also trafficking drugs? You're also trying to
get money off the ship? We're trying to... Ship? We've been demonetized already. Just, whatever.
I mean, It's Payday 2 is literally a crime game. What do you expect?
Well, I expect you to keep it slightly safe for work.
This is so sad.
I am the Elon Musk of
demonetization.
Yes.
First genocide and now drug trafficking. What's next? I'm not gonna don't answer that question.
Robbing this.
Wait, don't answer that question. Stop right there. Just move on to Left 4 Dead 2.
Okay, Left 4 Dead 2. Fighting zombies from a genetic horrible disease. Yep, horribly mutated monsters on beefy enemies on steroids. You have long spitting characters that spit at aerial denial like acid, which will instantly delete you if you stand in it for too long. You have enemies that puke on you and explode like weird bile on the players, which attracts other enemies to come and try to kill you. This is not family-friendly at all. It's literally just zombies and murder.
I've seen this all before, but have you seen Left 4 Dead before?
I haven't seen Left 4 Dead before, I don't think, but that's only because I've seen a lot of zombie games and I tend to stay away from those because they're terrifying.
So what are these images conjuring in your mind? What are these descriptions? What are the images that they're conjuring?
Both zombie on steroids, what do you think right now?
Run away.
Run away.
Just close the game, never come back.
Never come back. Yeah, I'm bad with horror games. But Left 4 Dead is surprisingly light on the horror.
Yeah, it has a good atmosphere for the horror, but like it doesn't rely on horror.
Exactly. So yes, Left 4 Dead 2. Some of my favorite cooperative games are, I have to think because I don't play many of them. Spiral Knights.
Oh yeah, right. I played with you before, Ronda, right?
Yeah. Have you played Spiral Knights?
Never heard of it.
It's a free-to-play game that requires money for like...
It's pay-to-win.
Yeah.
But only if you don't grind hard enough. It's the war. So Warframe and Spiral Knights have very similar design philosophies where you could pay to get everything, everything good, or you could grind for hundreds and hundreds of hours on end to attempt to get some good loot. But yeah, it's not pay to win. It's just pay to progress.
Okay. So I think Warframe...
That's still technically pay to win because you're actually making progress as the game to win.
Yeah.
Okay, Warframe is a little unique in that it actually has an economy and you can buy and sell stuff from other players. Is that something that's in Spiral Knights?
Yes, it is actually something in Spiral Knights.
Team Fortress 2 be like $5,000 golden pen.
Well, okay, well, that's like an outside market economy, but Warframe, as far as I'm aware, it has platinum, right?
Yeah.
So you want to explain platinum?
So you do have to buy platinum with money but to get into the game initially, but usually if you don't want to pay for it, you can trade for it to get items. excuse me, you can trade items for it to get it from other players, and you can spend it on whatever you want.
Right, yeah.
I know for a fact a lot of mobile games like do this as well.
Because Warframe is actually, it's a live player economy. Mm-hmm. Players control what goes up on the market and what goes down on the market, and I can't think of any mobile games that do that off the top of my head.
No mobile games do that, but they do introduce the second in-game economy that you need real money to.
Yeah, but most games have a premium economy, you know?
Yeah.
So in Spiral Knights, there are actually two types of currency, like you said. There's the premium currency, which is called energy, and you have your default currency that you get from completing missions and stuff called crowns. And you can actually, there's actually something called the auction hall in Spiral Knights.
Oh, you could just, you could sell like items for like how much, whatever you want.
Yeah, and they have to be reasonable. Well, it has to be reasonable, but most of the time it's not reasonable. And with Spiral Knights, the way you progress through the game is by getting higher tier gear. Like you go from 1-star gear to 5-star gear. And through my, you know, tenure of playing Spiral Knights, I made it up to 3-star. No, actually I made it up to 4-star, but then it got too grindy and I quit. But you can actually list like rare items like 3-star, 4-star, 5-star gear on the auction hall, and normally they go for hundreds of thousands of crowns, if not millions of crowns. Or you could have it for the low, low price of $9.99, which translates into roughly 1,500 energy. And you could have, you know, all of those things and have some leftover energy. So I think Warframe is much fairer in its, you know,
because you actually have control
market
over
philosophy.
Basically, yeah. There are some things that cost
exorbitant
amounts of money, but you're never going to use that for the most part in regular gameplay anyways, and those come around every so often through events. So everything's doable in Warframe if you can invest the time. How long does it take to grind 1,000,000 crowns in...
Okay, so from back when I last played, and it was not as pay-to-progress as it is now, you got roughly 400 to 500 crowns from completing a mission, but you would not get energy. That was only if you were lucky, though. On average, you get around 100 crowns for completing a mission.
Hang on, let me calculate that.
Okay, so it's roughly 100 crowns per mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just divide that by a million. That's like, well, I can do this math in my head. It's 100,000, right?
No. 100,000 missions. Okay, that's still grinding.
Is it 100,000? No, it's 10,000.
Oh, no, 100,000.
Well, 1 million has 9 zeros.
I have a calculator right here.
No, it's 10, 1,000,000. It's 10,000? Yeah, so you'd roughly 10,000 missions if you were just going by missions. There are also other ways to get crowns, though. There's a PvP mode where if you win, you get you have a chance of getting a jackpot of crowns, which is always a ton of crowns. But, like, Warframe, you could get the loot. Not easily, but, like, it was manageable, right?
Yeah.
In Spiral Knights, I played for roughly 1.5 years, 2 years maybe. And the farthest I made it was to tier four of items, right? And I played for, like, 6 months on Warframe. And I have a Prime Frame, which is, like... the premium?
You have regular Warframes and you have Prime Warframes, and you can get those when they're available, but once they're taken off, you usually have to like get it through other means, you know, buying with platinum or having relics, is it?
Relics, yeah.
Yeah, relics from before it was stuffed into the vault of you shall never touch this.
Yeah, but like Spiral Knights was so grindy and I quit because it was unfair to its players and the market economy is terrible, and it's an alright game.
Gameplay-wise, but...
Unless you're trying to actually progress in the game, Spiral Knights, maybe pick it up for like a few hours, see if you get bored. If you like the grind, go for it, I guess. But in essence, the gameplay of Spiral Knights revolves around you and three other knights in a party using guns, swords, shields, and bombs to destroy your way through multiple worlds in order to get resources, in order to progress, and it's just a never-ending cycle of I hate this.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I would recommend Payday 2 and Left 4 Dead 2 as cooperative.
Payday costs money.
Yeah. Money, and then you get in-game money.
Well, I'm trying to, like, just capitalize on, like, different types of co-op games, you know?
I know? Maybe get Payday 2 when it's, like, 99 cents on the Steam sale or something.
Yeah, honestly.
They get really cheap. But when you buy Payday 2, go for Legacy Collection.
Yeah, it includes all the DLC, or almost all the DLC.
That was released, like, from previous years. And on sales, it's ridiculously cheap, like under $10 usually.
Dude, I picked up Payday 2 with all the DLC for $2.
Yeah. that's a big
oof. All of the DLC. Okay, so I think there's 20-something DLC.
A lot. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's 20-something DLC that adds various weapons.
Weapon mods.
All of these things to the game. I got it for $2. It's very good, very good deal on Steam sales.
Left 4 Dead can go under $1.
At times.
On specific times. Mostly right. The Steam sales.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
They're both pretty good, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, cooperative games, super easy to get into. Any other cooperative games? I feel like we're missing out on some cooperative games that... It's like nagging on at the back of my head.
Does Borderlands count as...
Well, it's another first-person shooter, and I want to sort of...
Oh yeah, right.
We've mentioned most of our stuff has already been first person shooter.
God damn it, everything has been first person shooter for me. God damn it.
Anything?
No.
No? Oh, Elder Scrolls Online.
I know you play that. I don't think I've
ever seen played that. It for like 30 minutes.
Oh, I see.
I didn't even make it. I made it past the tutorial and then I started exploring and then I was like, yes. This tree is made of tree. And this house is made of house, and now I have a quest, and oh god, wire guards chasing me. Nope. X. Close the game. And then I uninstalled it, and I couldn't even refund it.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, that's $15 gone
this
forever.
This is a big oof.
This is the biggest oof of all time. Okay, so ESO is a co-op game. None of us have much experience with it, but it is a co-op game.
Yes.
Well, what is it?
Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy 16.
No.
Have you guys played a Final Fantasy game?
Years and years and years back, I played a game called The Realm Reborn, I think. Final Fantasy A Realm Reborn, and then I got into it for a little while, and then I gave up. Or it's either I forgot the password to my account, or I gave up.
One of the two. Bane's
me,
to gaming.
I don't know anymore. I only play shooters. I need to get a new
hobby. Let's see. It's like... I'm not going to explain Final Fantasy 16 because it's going to be a really long explanation. But what makes shooters so appealing to you? What makes the co-op shooter so appealing to you?
Causing chaos of a bunch of other people because we're all chaotic people. Let me just simplify that. It's nice to have, it's nice to do dumb things with other people.
Right.
For some reason, co-op and team shooters are the dumbest games with the most comedy. TF2 is a meme machine.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead can be a meme machine. Payday 2 is screaming, I need a medic bag. Quickly help me.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
CSGO, there are tons of dumb tactics as well. Like, oh, okay. So it's like at the beginning of a game. I remember that we were playing a game on Mirage. And so...
By pistol, rush me.
Not even... Yeah, it was pistol round, right? And we were winning, like... I think we were winning, like... 5-3, right? Or 5-4. And then we went into the second half. And it was the second half of pistol round. And so now we were playing on terrorist side, right? So it's like, okay, here's the plan. We're all going to buy frag grenades, right? We're all going to go to B site. And we're all going to throw them into the white van area, okay? So white van, when you come out of the apartments on B site in Mirage, there's a white van that CTs like to camp in. So we're all going to throw our 5 frag grenades in there. It was one person. We wasted 5 frag grenades on one person. Frag grenades are $200 a pop. We wasted $1,000 that round. When you only start with $800 per person, we wasted $1,000 on one person. But let me tell you, when his ragdoll flew from crouching in the white van to flying up over apartments and then landing on the scaffolding, it was the greatest thing in the world.
Do you want to hear my story?
We won that round, but you know.
Do you want to hear my experience with the ragdolls?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's this weapon in Team Fortress 2 where it's literally you shoot an arrow.
The Huntsman.
Yeah, the Huntsman, right. Sometimes when you shoot an arrow at an enemy, I don't know why, but their ragdoll starts spinning, like their arms just start spinning.
I know Warframe has these type of...
Yeah,
collisions as well.
Yeah, especially with AoE attacks, the collisions get crazy. They just sort of...
It's hilarious. They just... Boom.
And it's sometimes funny when you like accidentally kill yourself with like a spare grenade, and then you just start flying over instead of like blowing to tiny pieces. Same thing when it comes to CSGO. I remember one time I accidentally placed... Okay, so there was this one mission that Eric and I were doing.
Yes.
It's called the Guardian mission.
Yeah, but which one? We've played a lot.
Breaching.
Oh, yeah.
I killed myself too many times by accident. Because I got confused with the placing a charge and the detonating charge. So one time, I placed a charge. I was going to place another one. I pressed detonate.
Whoa. He made this mistake. Oh, yeah. This is where CSGO turns into a co-op game during these Guardian missions where it's you versus a whole bunch of bots attacking a site and you have an objective. So there was this mission where we had to use breaching charges, which are like mini explosives, and we get 3 of them per round. And we just had to get kills with these breaching charges, right? And he could not differentiate between the button to pick up a breaching charge, the button to place a breaching charge, and the button to detonate a breaching charge. So every 2 or 3 rounds, I would be like placing my breaching charges, and then suddenly in the background I hear a giant explosion, and over the voice call I hear, "Oh sh-" and I turn around and I see his ragdoll in the sky. Like bouncing off the skybox.
Wait, is this a thing where it's like 2 keys on a keyboard that are next to each other, or is it?
No, it's left click to place, right click to detonate, and he could not differentiate between the two. Every once in a while, he would try to place one and accidentally detonate like all of them.
Oh no!
And the best way to play this mission was to place all your breaching charges in one place and wait for a crowd to swarm by. So he would place like 2 breaching charges and then try to place the third one. And he would blow it up. And I just hear massive, you know, shouting on the other side and a flying ragdoll. And it's like, what the hell happened here? And, you know, co-op games tend to provide for tons of hilarious shenanigans with your friends.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember one time we got, like, cloakered in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then I died. And then everyone else died.
Yeah.
I think. I can't remember.
Shenanigans in co-op games?
Oh, yeah.
Not really.
I mean, in Human Fall Flat, when I was playing with someone else, we would just take turns throwing each other off the map.
I remember in CSGO, I kept on shooting one of my friends because they kept on shooting me. It just ended up us murdering each other.
Yes. I am going to take you, and with my very limited controls, yeet! Just off the map.
Honestly, usually, you would have to, both of you would have to go off the map for it to work, so it's like, this is fine.
This is fine. But yeah, definitely, co-op games and team-based games are definitely super fun. You can get into co-op games really easily.
Team-based games really easily.
Yeah, you know, for team-based games, TF2, CSGO, is free.
Left 4 Dead and Payday 2 are
co-op games
that you need to pay for.
Human Fall Flat is really good, I think. It sounds really good.
And here's a fun fact for getting the most fun out of cooperative team-based games. Grab a friend
or 2
dumb things.
Yeah, exactly.
This makes sense.
This does make sense. So yeah.
This is the way.
That is the way. Okay, so anyways, this episode was kind of disorganized. We sort of ran out of ideas halfway through the episode. But, you know, thank you so much for tuning in if you're still here after, you know, all of that screaming and yelling.
Wait, how
and
long
laughing.
Has this, how long has this been? Because we didn't go in here with a very clear idea of what to do, but it's been a while.
I'm not sure.
I can't read clocks.
This is what happens when an episode is very disorganized. But
you have too much fun making it.
Yeah, we've all had so much work over like the past week. There's just been no time to like plan anything or play video games to give you guys content.
Hey, consider this episode. It feels like to play a
cooperative game
or a team-based game.
It's you have no idea what you're gonna do coming in, but you make something out of it. You know.
Yeah.
It involves dumb shenanigans. More dumb shenanigans. You know, and having an actual competent discussion. So definitely get into team-based games and cooperative games if you're into that sort of stuff. You can re-listen to all of our old episodes on Spotify or Anchor or wherever you listen to us. Thank you to our international listeners, whoever's listening to us in Norway. Thank you very much. Remember to share this with your friends, your family, the people on the internet that you meet.
Maybe
not 4chan. Don't share this to 4chan.
Oh, no.
I was not talking about 4chan. I was thinking about Florida Man coming to join in.
Yeah, share this to your local Florida Man. You know, this just share it to everybody. You know, thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much for sticking with us. This is our third official episode of Two Scarves Gaming. And again, I am Eric.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Evan.
And we will see you next week, Friday.
I need more memes.